Blackburn Associates, and GM has walked away with 5 important awards. They're all for initial quality, including the highest-ranked entry midsize car, the highest-ranked premium midsize car, and the highest-ranked full-size car, along with the highest-ranked full-size SUV and the highest-ranked heavy-duty full-size pickup. 5 is no fluke. It's the sign of real excellence. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, visit jdpower.com.
Tell me where you are, and I will jump into my car. I won't slow down.
Only one car company could bring high-quality cars to millions of Americans. Only GM. To learn more, visit onlygm.com/quality.
It's funny and it's strange and it involves Pez, but it couldn't be an episode of Seinfeld because it's in Ohio. Ted Klopp reports.
Pezomania is back in Cleveland. Yeah, a convention for people who love Pez.
We show our Pez, we buy Pez, we trade Pez, we study Pez.
Jill Cohen calls herself a Pezhibitionist, helps organize the event, and says the convention in Cleveland is the biggest. People come from across the country and around the world. The farthest come from
Japan and Slovenia.
So what makes Pez so popular?
It's a combination of the two favorite things from childhood. It's got toys and it's got candy.
Some Pez has been auctioned off on eBay for up to $6,000 or $7,000. Ted Klopp, ABC News, Cleveland.
Ohio has also given birth to a new mega millionaire. It probably isn't you, but somebody in the Buckeye State this week bought a single Mega Millions lottery ticket worth $170 million. It wasn't me, and I don't want to talk about it. Steve Taylor, ABC News.
The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Welcome to Body, Mind, and Balance, a weekly program devoted to celebrating the balance between physical health and mental health. Our show explores ways to integrate physical and mental health into a lifestyle of overall wellness. Our hosts are three professionals with diverse expertise and backgrounds. Corey Bank is a sports psychologist. Valerie Shinbaum is a psychotherapist. Susan Toler is an endurance athlete. Together, we are working towards achieving body, mind, and balance. Afternoon, here we are with Body, Mind, and Balance. I'm your host, Valerie Shinbaum, and with me today in the studio is Deborah Moses, the president and founder of Veris Associates Incorporated and Transforming You Seminars, and she's also the author of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want. So welcome to Deborah.
Thank you, Valerie. It's great to be here.
Good. And let me just say before we get started that we are at AM 860 WWDB. And in case anyone feels like calling in this afternoon, the number is 610-664-4100. Please feel free to share your comments, your questions, whatever you have to say. Today's topic is reinvention, going from who you thought you were supposed to be to who you want to become today and in the years ahead. And I guess where we have decided to start today is we're talking about how do we figure out who we're supposed to be in the first place? Where does that all come from as we begin? So I guess that's probably the best place to start as any, begin at the beginning.
I think, Valerie, you know, we end up starting to realize as we get a little bit older that the messages we were given when we were younger aren't always true for us as we change and as we become who we're becoming as we become adults. Sometimes it happens at 25, sometimes doesn't happen until we're 45 and we realize that some of those messages are old and we need to reinvent them for ourselves.
Right. And maybe we need to change them and maybe we need to put them to the side.
Absolutely.
So when we're talking about reinvention, it sounds like, well, how do we reinvent? I guess what we really have to do is go back and talk about who invents us first, you know?
I think so. I think, you know, a lot of those messages come from our childhood.
Right.
We hear the, you know, the, what made you think you could do that? And mm-hmm. then we find out, you know, we start to believe about ourselves that we shouldn't be as confident maybe as we were.
Right.
Or we hear from a teacher, perhaps, that, well, maybe we should go into a different field than we were interested in. Whether that's valid or not, we hear it. And those, for some reason, I think those negative messages stay with us so much longer than the positive ones.
I think they also overshadow the positive ones, too. I think that we can achieve all the things we want to achieve in the world. And then one little criticism. I used to teach aerobics. I taught aerobics for 15 years and did personal training and still do a lot of workout things. And I remember
it was never the fact that I got 50 people to come to my step class at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. It was the one person who made a complaint, which would go to the gym manager. And then the gym manager would have to call me up and tell me about the one complaint. Never mind the 49 people who were perfectly satisfied. It was the one person who would make a complaint about something that I did or a move that I did or something like that. And I think we internalize those negatives so much more strongly than we ever internalize the positive things that we do.
Well, and in the same way, we're our own worst critic as well.
Right.
You know, when we know that we haven't done something maybe as well as we could have, we tend to beat ourselves up about that.
Right.
It doesn't matter that 14 people said, that was great, that was wonderful, I'm so glad you did that, I'm so proud of you. That little nuance of what didn't go well, we tend to beat ourselves up about. That little negative person on our shoulder tends to be the one that's the loudest.
Isn't that something?
And why can't we get rid of those messages,
right?
You know? One of the things that that I talk about in some of the seminars that we do and in some of the talks that I give is the fact that we grow, we change, we reinvent ourselves, as you say, over the years, time and again. It's not just a one-shot thing. And as we do that, we outgrow fads, we outgrow clothing, we outgrow cars.
Hairstyles. Friendships.
Yeah, friendships, relationships, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we realize that we're allowed to outgrow those messages?
Right.
You know, we discard clothing that no longer fits us or that's outdated or that's worn. Well, the messages are outdated. You don't fit that message that was there when you were 18 if you're now 30. At least hopefully you don't.
Right. But don't you find that people, in terms of reinvention, are unwilling to let go of something old sometimes? For example, I know people who stay loyal to a friendship they may have had since first grade, for example, because, well, this is someone I knew since first grade, you know, and I have to stay friendly with this person my entire life. And not that there's anything wrong with that. That's a wonderful thing if it happens. But what are the chances that the friendship you built as 2 6-year-olds is going to remain exactly the same as the friendship you might try to have as 2 56-year-olds? That's a long time. And certainly you go through a lot of reinventions during those 50 years.
I agree with you, absolutely. And I think that the reinventions that we look at are really that same kind of a relationship, but it's a relationship with ourself.
Yes.
It's the relationship we have with our own internal self, and that reinvention that we go through as we begin to realize that, hey, that's not me anymore. Hey, I don't really like that anymore. Or, you know, maybe my passion is about this now. And that's what making conscious choices is about. The book talks about choices and opportunities and being responsible and expectation. Well, that's the conscious choice piece of it. Deciding where we want to go, making a goal for ourselves, making a conscious choice about the path that we want to be on in terms of this reinvention.
So talk about a little bit of your reinvention. Let's talk about how it came that you wrote this book. Let's start from there.
Well, you have more than an hour?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know. How much time do you have, Valerie?
Right. The Cliff's Notes version is that I was in corporate America.
What did you do in corporate America?
I was, geez.
Yeah, what? Exactly. How much time do you have?
When I left corporate America, I was working as a manager of project managers. I had been in the IT field, the information technology field, mostly in infrastructure, as a project manager, a senior project manager, a manager of project managers, an infrastructure director, a team leader, climbing the corporate ladder, so to speak. I was going to be the first female vice president of the company I was working in. But began to realize that this isn't all it's cracked up to be. This isn't what I want to do. I was changing. My children were getting older. My children were becoming teenagers. Teenagers in this day and age is a scary time. And I wanted to be around more for our kids. I was working 60, 70 hours, and it just wasn't working for me. It was just too much. So I started thinking about what else I wanted to do. Well, the things that I loved doing the most were when I was in front of the classroom doing training or doing teaching or doing orientation. Started thinking about opening a training company. Well, it was not a good time to do that. The economy was bad. It was the dot-bomb era.
Yeah.
So I ended up taking another corporate role. Left the company where I was, but took another corporate role. And finally, a couple years later, it was time.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home one day and said to my husband, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to start my own company. I'm going to quit my job. Well, that was kind of an interesting discussion because his reaction was, you can't do that. And my reaction was, yeah, I can.
Right. Tell me about, you know, I think there's always a place I work for myself as well. And I think there's a jumping off place in my head. I know there was one probably gosh, I'm going to go back into to the point where when I was a little kid, I pretty much always knew someplace in my heart that I had to work for myself, that I had to be my own independent boss, that working for other people, making money for someone else was not going to be what was going to drive me. But I think that when we come out into it, and now you said you were in corporate America for a long time, so before you actually took that leap, when you went through the door and said to your husband, listen, the time is now, tell me how many years before that do you think you had the insight or you had the vision that was about knowing that it was time?
Well, I knew that it was time 20 years ago.
Okay.
I had had
Sounds
my own,
right.
I had had my own first business 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was having children, and then it was going back to corporate America and a job, and I had given up that business by circumstance, by happenstance, not by conscious choice. I ended up in a role for someone in my business that ended up turning into a corporate position, being offered a job, stability, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it a long time ago.
Right.
When did I act on it before this time was more recent, probably
right.
about 5 years before I actually did it.
5 years. Okay. That sounds pretty good. So even though something hits, it's almost as if something hits you over the head,
mm-hmm.
I think. And it comes up much sooner, it comes up much longer before you actually go home and say, mm-hmm. it's time for me to go. But it's interesting to hear you say that you'd had a business before, then it's like 5 years before you actually left. So then it's always in the back of your mind, isn't it? Do you ever feel that way, where it's always in the back of your mind and you're just, one day it happens, but it's always been there?
Absolutely. The messages yeah. are there. Sometimes we just don't pay attention to them.
Right.
And then they get stronger and louder, and eventually something hits us upside the head and says, it's time.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Pretty much you can't tune them out anymore. You can't turn down the volume on those messages because they're coming in stronger and they sound much more clear and they
mm-hmm.
sound much more about happiness and positive change, don't they?
They do. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a trigger. There's something else that triggers it too.
Yeah, I think so too. And sometimes it's not even a big trigger. It's not like somebody's saying, you know, get out, but that's how it starts to feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just get out. It's more get out and get on.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
We end up finding the things that make sense.
Yeah, that seems to work pretty well. So when we come back, we're going to be still talking about where do the messages come from? What do we do with the messages? What happens when the messages start to sidetrack us? And where do we go from there? Okay, so this is Body, Mind, and Balance at AM 860 WWDB. And remember, our show's call-in number is 610-664-4100 in case you have anything to say. And we're going to continue talking here at AM 860.
Why are you settling for less than you want? Yes, I am talking to you. Hello. Your life is not what you want it to be, right? So why are you settling? You know why? Because you don't know how to get the life you really want. I'm Deborah Moses, author of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want. This book can revolutionize your life. 4 steps to creating the life you want. Choice, opportunity, responsibility, expectation. C-O-R-E. 4 steps. Sound simple? It is. Stop settling. Take the first step now. Make the choice to get Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want. Available at Amazon and by visiting www.transformingyouseminars.com. That's Transforming You, the letter U, seminars.com.
The Pennsylvania Project proudly supports Body, Mind, and Balance. The Pennsylvania Project is a photographic documentary project by two Philadelphia photographers, Hinda Schumann and Linda Johnson. Their photographs record the diversity, complexity, and wonder of the 67 counties in Pennsylvania. Linda and Hinda are spending time in each county, simultaneously photographing events and scenes, showing their vision of daily life around Pennsylvania. This collaborative project includes photographs, interviews with people they meet, and information about each county they visit. Take a website break, and please visit www.thepennsylvaniaproject.com. That's www.thepennsylvaniaproject.com.
Okay, welcome back. We're here at AM 860 WWDB, Body, Mind, and Balance. I'm Valerie Shinbaum, your host for today, and my guest this afternoon is Deborah Moses, the author of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want. And she's also the president and founder of Veris Associates and Transforming You Seminars. And we've been talking a little bit about the messages we get sent that sends us the concept of invention. We're talking about reinvention today. We're talking about where we thought we were supposed to go and what happens when the train gets off that track and we need to go in another direction and reinvent ourselves as we move forward to the future. So before, when we went to break, we were talking about who sets us up, you know, who tells us what we're supposed to do. I love all those words, supposed to, have to, ought to, should, and must, the five most deadly phrases in the English language, mm-hmm. in my opinion, along with the word normal. So who do we say? I can't tell you the number of times that I've heard people tell me, well, you should do this or you should think about this. I had a relative who used to tell me he thought I should be a prison warden. I have no idea why he said that, but he used to say that all the time. You should be a prison warden, Valerie. I don't know why he said that. And to this day, I don't know. You know what? It was so off-putting, I just didn't understand. So, needless to say, I have not worked with the prison community, although clients of mine have gone to prison from time to time and come back. So, you never know. People just come up with these, or somebody said to me one time, oh, you should be a lawyer because you really like to argue. Well, that's not all that lawyers do.
That's true.
Just because you like to argue doesn't mean you'd make a good lawyer. What were the kinds of things they told you should be? A wife,
well,
a mother.
I heard more of the things like, well, yeah, it was always, you know, when you grow up and have children.
Oh, right,
own,
right,
you know?
Right.
I heard more things like, I pity the man that marries you because he's going to have to put up with you and, you know, things
nice.
Like that. So, yeah, that was, it was in jest, but as we know, things aren't always in jest that are supposed to be in jest.
Right.
But I think that comes from having a strong personality and having people say, you know, oh, geez, somebody's going to have to deal with you someday.
Right, right.
But and my wonderful husband who does put up with me day to day has been great about those things. You know, we were talking earlier about the life changes and how we know about those things, and you had asked me how early did I know? It was about 5 years this last time. But when we talk about the messages getting louder, I think when we don't pay attention to the opportunities that are in front of us to start working in a direction we're being pushed or pulled, whichever way you look at it,
mm-hmm.
the direction, you kind of know. You've got that gut feeling deep down inside of you somewhere that says, I need to do this. You need to be going here.
Right.
You need to be following this message, this path, this direction. And it's difficult when you don't realize that.
Right.
And then the next message gets a little more intense, you know, a little louder, a little more of a hello over here, pay attention. You're supposed to be going over here in this direction. And I think sometimes it actually happens where we get to the point where we're ignoring those signs so much that we end up making ourselves ill. And that's the crux. That's the point at which a decision has to be made.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my case, I was working a lot of hours. I really wasn't feeling all that great. And I was having chest pains that no one knew what that was about. Whole cardiac workup, the whole bit. You know, there was a school of thought that it was anxiety.
Right.
As it turns out, I ended up having a very deep-seated lung infection. But it took a long time to figure that out.
Right. Because we're supposed to be able to manage what we're doing. And we're supposed to be happy with what we're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
And we don't realize how much the stress of not being in the direction or on the path that we're supposed to be on, the toll that stress takes on us every day. If we could just learn to be aware, to open our eyes, that when coincidences, you know, quote unquote coincidences happen, that's not necessarily a coincidence. Maybe that's a message.
Right.
You know, somebody says something to you. And the next day, you're reading an article in the newspaper and the same exact words jump out at you.
Exactly.
Or you're reading a book and the same, you know, same phraseology jumps out. Or three people say the same thing to you in the same week. Okay, I'm supposed to be paying attention
to
this.
I remember when I went out to work for group practices after I got licensed, and I had been working in the clinical community and treatment facilities for many years. And then I was able to get my license because of the way my degree was set up, and I went to work for group practices. But I always knew I was headed out on my own. I remember the 6 months probably prior to the 2 years that I worked for other people, but as a fee-for-service person, I must have run into or talked to about 10 different people between friends and colleagues and just people that I met skiing or on vacation or wherever. And all these different people kept telling me story after story about the moment they knew, the moment they knew, the moment they knew, and they were doing it freelance and they were doing it for themselves. And they were finding a way to get their lifestyles paid for and their mortgages paid for and their health insurance paid for. And wasn't it amazing? And it just kept thinking, I kept thinking, light bulb, light bulb, light bulb, light bulb. There's a reason. Something is sending me all of these. See, I'm somebody who doesn't believe in coincidences. I think everything happens for a reason.
So do I.
So I think these people were sent to me in such an order as to show me that, yes, there's a reason why I'm waiting for the next opportunity.
And hopefully, as you did, you know, people gradually wake up and start being aware, okay, this is a similar message. I am getting,
right.
This is consistent. You know, I should be paying attention to this. Right. I have a friend who brought me a... gift last Thanksgiving or Christmas, and it was a little easel, and it had a stone plaque on it, and it said, leap and the net will appear.
And I have that refrigerator magnet on my refrigerator, and a colleague of mine gave that to me a few years ago. And isn't that funny that isn't that amazing that we both have that same phrase in our heads, and we have physical evidence in our houses of that same concept.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The other phrase that I love and I live by is, I will find a way or I'll make one.
Right.
Because when we're talking about opportunities and we're talking about making conscious choices and finding opportunities to make those choices become a reality, sometimes you have to make it yourself. Sometimes the opportunity's there if you're aware of it and you see it, but sometimes you have to make that opportunity to make those changes yourself.
Right.
And you have to make the opportunities to reinvent yourself.
And then once you begin to reinvent yourself, you have to keep having the confidence because you might not always succeed the first time or the fifth time or the 12th time. And just because you're moving in the direction you want to go to doesn't mean you're not going to take steps backwards sometimes.
That's a great point. I really think that we need to constantly be aware of the lessons that we can learn from our setbacks. I really dislike when people use the word failures.
Failure, right.
Because nothing is really ever a failure. If you've learned from it, if you're moving forward, if you're moving in a direction, all change. People want to make change to better their lives, right? They want to make change in order to have a more successful life, a happier, more fulfilled life, to have a more purposeful life. We're moving forward. We're moving toward better.
Right.
So, you know, we want to make sure that we do the things that are going to make those things better. Sometimes, you know, you said earlier, when we were talking about preparing for this, you said sometimes you take that side road.
Right. You get off the freeway and you get off the Schuylkill Expressway and you go up Melbourne Avenue to get to the radio station on time.
Yeah, especially when there's a backup on the Schuylkill that we were both sitting in earlier. You know, you really need to make sure, though, sometimes those side roads are planned. They are part of the plan.
Right.
But you need to make sure you don't go so far off the path that now you're not paying attention to your conscious choice anymore,
exactly.
that you're forgetting about your goals.
Exactly.
And just moving along by happenstance.
Yeah. I was telling you earlier as we were talking, thank God for cell phones, because at least if we were both stuck in traffic, we had a chance to prepare in the car. I was telling you earlier about a client who came in to see me this week, and she's a beautiful woman, but recently at our last session, she just looked more beautiful than I've ever seen her before. And we've been talking a lot about her choices that she's made over the past couple of years, most of which she acknowledges she wasn't really as awake as she wanted to be for them. And now that she looks back and she says, well, gee, you know, I think I have to move in a different direction and it has to be more about the things I need to do for me. Well, I took a look at her face yesterday and there was a light shining from her eyes and the way her face looked. She's a very attractive woman, but yesterday she just looked so incredible because now she's really focused on her goals for herself. And, you know, she's in a marriage, she has a baby, and that's very exciting for her. But she also knows that it has to be about being conscious and being aware and being prepared and looking towards the future for herself and for her husband and for her children. And how important it is that she be awake and, you know, at the wheel.
I love that word, awake. Yeah. You know, being aware. It's almost like sometimes we do just wake up one day and realize we're not where we want to be or where we're supposed to be.
Right.
And it's hard when you do that, though, when you finally realize it and you need to make a lot of changes because it's scary.
Right. It is. It's always scary. We were talking earlier also about who sets us up in the beginning and realizing you have children who are teenagers and you have children who are in their early 20s. And the idea is that how do we teach children who, I like the expression that you used. What did you say? You said people direct traffic.
Yes. Traffic direction.
Yeah, traffic direction. People direct traffic for young people and in their best interest. They're not trying to do it from a malicious place. Parents want their children to be successful, to be independent. So many times parents will suggest, well, you know, make sure you go to college. And while you're in college, you know, pick a major that will be something that's going to make you money. I totally respect parents for making that suggestion. However, not all happiness is based on making money. Not that we don't have to make money, but it's how are we going to make that money?
Mm-hmm.
That's very important for us to think about.
And, you know, I really believe that if you're doing something you love, the rest will fall into place.
That's right.
If you're following a direction that is your passion, your dream, your purpose, whatever you want to call it,
right,
that the rest will fall into place.
Right.
The money will happen, you know. And one of the things that people don't realize as they try and reinvent themselves is that there's more than one way to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, you know, your dream has always been to be an artist.
Right.
And, you know, but maybe that's your dream, but maybe you're not a great artist. But there are other ways in the art field that
exactly.
you could reinvent yourself.
Exactly.
Explore your talent, but also make money at the same time. Maybe an artist rep, maybe
right.
a gallery owner. Maybe, you know, there are a number of different ways that you could do that.
Maybe the media coordinator in a graphic design firm.
Exactly.
There's so many different things. When you have a passion, I was telling you on our way in here today, there's an author named Marcia Sinatar who wrote a book called Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the Confucius phrase that you came up with?
The old Confucius saying is that if you work at something you love, you never work a day in your life.
Right, right. I know for me, every day I get up and I'm so excited because I'm doing what I love to do. So it doesn't feel like work.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm sitting at home at my computer in my home office and I'm doing billing or I'm doing, you know, client notes or I'm doing press kits or publicity letters or whatever it is, I am smiling.
Mm-hmm.
I have the radio going and I have a load of laundry in and it's just so much fun because it's what I always wanted to do. This is stuff that's easy for me. It's just like breathing.
Right. And it's, you know, I'm going through the same thing. It's we're busy, we're crazy, we're
mm-hmm.
running two businesses. You know, I just hired two new employees recently. We're growing like leaps and bounds and I'm exhausted.
Right.
But I'm having a blast. It's great stuff.
I know. I find that I like leap out of bed every morning. 5 o'clock comes and I'm like, okay, let me get my day started. And you're right. At the end of the day, I'm exhausted, but it's so.
I don't know that I can say I leap out of bed every day, but.
All right. Roll out of bed, fall out of bed, crawl
But
out
you're
of
right.
Bed.
It's not hard to get up.
It isn't.
Not like when I had to get up at 5 a.m. and go to a corporate office and was like, yeah, I'm not doing this.
I know. And it's so important to think about how that affects us. And we were talking earlier about the lung infection you had and the chest pains that you were having. We're going to talk some more about that, about how we don't listen
mm-hmm.
Or we refuse to listen or we don't think we're right. I used to get a lot of tension headaches and migraines. And I thought, well, gee, now I knew there was something wrong. And the whole point of the show that we're doing, Body, Mind, and Balance, it's all about keeping the balance and what happens when our lives get out of balance around being unhappy. And we're not even sure why we're unhappy. But in this regard, in terms of reinvention, we know that it has something to do with not doing what we know we're meant to do.
And being stuck.
Yeah, that's pretty important. That's powerful. So we're going to talk more about that and about listening to the messages that our bodies are sending us and getting those aligned with our brains.
Mm-hmm.
And talking more about where the messages can take us. So we'll be here at AM 860 WWDB. I'm Valerie Shinbaum on Body, Mind, and Balance with my guest, Deborah Moses. Remember, our call-in number is 610-664-4100. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll be right back.
I really don't know what I want, but I do know one thing. This life isn't it.
Hey, I just read a great book that could help you figure it out. It's called Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want by Deborah Moses. It really helped me get on the right path to the life I want. Now I'm working on following my dreams and making them reality.
How did it help you so fast?
It's easy. Just 4 steps to follow to create the life you want. Choice, opportunity, responsibility, expectation. Read it and you'll understand.
Sounds like a real find. How can I get a copy? I want to read it as soon as possible and get out of this rut.
I got mine online at www.transformingyouseminars.com. That's transforming you, the letter U, and the word seminars.com. You can also get it at Amazon. For your copy of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want, go to transformingyouseminars.com.
Are you anxious or feeling down? Struggling with relationship, family, or career issues? Wondering if you might have an addiction or eating disorder? If you answered yes to any of the above, then give me a call. Hi, I'm Valerie Shinbaum, a licensed professional counselor in private practice with over 13 years of treatment experience. I work with children ages 5 and up, adolescents, adults, couples, and families. Together in therapy, we can explore issues around parent-child conflict, marital and couple stressors, grief and loss, self-esteem building, divorce and custody concerns. I'm available in two office locations, Newtown Square, Pennsylvania, and Plymouth Meeting, Pennsylvania. Call me for more information or to schedule an appointment at 610-322-7829. Again, that number is 610-322-7829. I'm here to help you.
Okay, we're back with Body, Mind, and Balance at AM 860 WWDB. I'm Valerie Shinbaum, your host today. Our call-in number is 610-664-4100 in case you have anything to tell us. And my special guest today is Deborah Moses, president and CEO of Transforming You Seminars and also of Veris Associates. And she's the author of the book, Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want. And we're going to talk about that core approach in just a minute. But let's go back just now for a bit about looking at the old messages and how our bodies respond to those old messages when we're walking in a direction that maybe is something somebody else suggested that we do, which, you know, in their defense is there's no reason for us not to walk in that direction, but we start to realize that that's not really who we want to be. And I'm thinking about some high school kids that I taught this spring and how as they're graduating from high school, they were so sure, every one of them in there pretty much knew what they wanted to do. You know, we had a soccer coach and we had a school counselor and we had a nurse and we had a psychologist and everybody had a clue. Then I had this one young lady who just didn't know what she wanted to do. And she was so sad about that. And she just didn't understand why she felt so sad and why she didn't know what to do. And she kept saying, I'm so confused. I'm so confused. I don't know why. I don't know what I want to do.
Well, you know, it's tough when everybody around you seems like they have it all together.
Right.
And you're sitting there going, not really sure what right. I want to do.
Right.
It's a tough place to be.
It is.
And I find it difficult to believe that you had that many kids who actually did know thought they knew what they wanted to be.
Yeah.
Personally, it took me till I was 45 right. to figure out what I wanted to be, you know?
I'm still waiting to find that out.
Yeah. And like we said earlier, it's a constant process. Although those kids who wanted to be the counselor or the nurse or the psychologist may go on to college and actually become those things.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean that's who they're going to be for the next 40 or 50 years.
That's right. I think of all the people that I knew from undergraduate school who went right to law school after undergrad. And I don't think, probably, I'm pretty sure most of those people are not practicing lawyers today. You know, they went to law school because that was the next step. It seemed like the next logical thing to do. How many times have you heard people say, it seemed like the thing to do at the time? Ooh, boy. I've heard that referred to in buying houses, getting married, having children, having right. another child, you know, choosing a career, choosing a different career. And I think that so many times you might not stay in the same career, but people get really invested in, well, gee, you know, I spent all this money becoming a doctor, becoming a pharmacy tech, becoming a whatever. Now, if I don't think I want to do that anymore, what am I supposed to do?
Well, you know, an awful lot of us end up where we are by happenstance.
Yes.
How many people have you met in your life who said, you know, I can't wait until I'm a FedEx driver.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever, you know,
right.
you want to be the doctor, lawyer, Indian chief,
right.
you know, like we grow up with all those messages, you know, be the best you can be kind
right.
of thing. And a lot of these kids go to college because, you know, mom's a lawyer, so they go to law school. Dad's a doctor, so they go to med school.
Right.
Someone told them they can make a lot of money in computers, but they hate computers or they hate developer, you know, being a developer, writing
right.
code. And they get stuck there because that's what they went to school for. We think we're stuck. We're never stuck. We only think we're stuck.
Right.
And that's one thing that people don't understand. One of the reasons that we started doing the seminars and that the book is out there is because we realized that we aren't teaching our kids how to change, how to be okay with this reinvention.
Mm-hmm.
We change, most of us change a
all
few
the time.
Times over the years. You
think
know?
About women. Our bodies change every 28 days for, you know, 40 some odd years.
Our bodies change. Our minds change about
things. Our hairstyles
things.
Change.
You know, our lives change. We get mm-hmm. married. We get divorced. We get, you know, we go to school. We get out of school. We're supposed to be a responsible adult when we get out of school.
Right.
I know a lot of quote unquote responsible adults who at 50 still aren't responsible adults, but you know, we're constant, it's a constant state of reinvention. It's just a matter of reinventing ourselves with a plan, with having made a choice and
right.
following the opportunities to make those choices happen having an actual plan and not just listening to the messages that other people give us.
Right. I think one of the things, to go back to the whole idea of going to college, I don't think anyone's going to dispute that if you have the skill set to go to college and you have the money to pay for it or get it paid for, that's a great thing.
Absolutely.
But I remember thinking when I was back in high school, I was working at a college when I was in high school, and I took college courses when I was in high school. And I think if I had it to do over again, I would not have gone to college right after high school.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this sounds like a radical concept, because where I come from and the community in which I lived, it was such a given. And you still see kids today. I talk to these kids all the time. Well, I'm going to college. You know, I'm graduating from high school next year, so now I'll go to college. And it's like it seems so lockstep. It seems so robotic, the way that I say that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I talked to a lot of people. As it turned out, I went to a college for a year, and then I ended up dropping out for a year because it wasn't the right choice for me at the time. And I don't know if that was only just the school that I went to. It was just the idea that I really didn't need to be in college right after high school. I'd already been around college kids for 3 years. I knew what they were about. And maybe, you know, looking back, I think that it's hard to go against hype, though. It's hard to go against, it's not that my family wouldn't have been supportive. It's just, what else were you going to do instead?
Instead, right.
And that goes back to what you're saying about if you're going to reinvent, it has to be with some sort of a plan.
Well, you know, I didn't know that about you in terms of the way you went to college, but mm-hmm. I did a similar thing. All of my friends were, you know, taking SATs and getting ready and going and doing applications. And I didn't know what I wanted to do yet. So mm-hmm. I didn't do any of that. I mean, I took the SATs, I did the applications, you know, yeah. that kind of thing. I ended up going and getting a full-time job and
after
going to
school
after mm-hmm. high school and going. And I went to college at night mm-hmm. over a period of 5-6 years,
mm-hmm.
Just because I wasn't sure what I wanted to take at first. You know, I ended up being an English major. And now I'm told I'm hell with a red pen all the time, but you know, it's one of those things where I just didn't know what I wanted to be. But yet, we talk about the messages. The messages were there. I thought I wanted to teach. You know, I went to school. I was an English major. I thought I was going to teach English. Well, here I am.
You are teaching.
Years later. And yes, I'm in front of the classroom and mm-hmm, I'm teaching. Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, not exactly the way I thought I would.
Right.
But those messages are there. We
right.
do, if we pay attention to what's going on, you know, those little messages that we get. If we're paying attention to them, just like the young woman that you were talking about, she probably has an idea what she wants to do, but maybe it's not mainstream, so she's not willing to admit it yet.
Right,
or,
exactly.
You know, it's not going to flow with parents or other people that she respects.
Yeah. Right. And the other thing about it is she might not be too sure yet at 18 years old, at the mm-hmm. grand old age of 18. It probably isn't fleshed out yet. It isn't,
right.
It isn't formulated. She has ideas of what she likes to do in her mind. It's very easy for us to ask somebody, what do you like to do? And right away, I do this with clients all the time. I do goal sheets with my clients all
sure.
the time. And I'll say, do goal sheets for yourself. Let's take out a piece of paper right now. And we're going to set down some goals, things that you want to accomplish before you die. And it doesn't have to be serious and it doesn't have to be real. The sky's the limit. So I've had people tell me, I want to go to Cuba. You know, well, Cuba's illegal for Americans right now, but this person wants to go to Cuba. And I've had other people who wanted to be a movie extra on horseback in a movie. And I've had someone else who wants to open a restaurant. And I have had another person who wants to sing in a rock band. I say the sky's the limit. I have people who want to be astronauts. And who's to say that they're ever going to accomplish these goals, these supposedly far-fetched goals? But you never know. On my goal sheet, I've done everything I ever expected to do except write a book. And now I'm having you to inspire me. So I'm sure
we're going to have you do that soon.
Oh, I'm going to write a book. There will be a book. There's at least one book in my head. So I know that it's still to be done, and it's something that I will do. So when I think about the goals, I'm constantly inventing new ones, reinventing my goals, because I've achieved a lot of the goals that I set for myself. And I don't put timelines on goals. That's very important for me. When I work with clients, I always say, don't think, okay, by the time I'm 40, I have to be making this amount of money. I have to be living in this size house. I have to have this kind of car, et cetera, et cetera. I always say, don't put an age frame on it. Don't put a time limit on it. Just say, I will do it someday.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think on the big term, the big picture ones, yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think the sky's the limit, and you should be limited only by your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think when we get down to the changes that we want to make next in our lives,
mm-hmm.
the things that we get more realistic about, and you're right, they have to be written down goals. Then that's when we start looking at what's the action plan. How long is it going to take to do this? That's when we start looking at the reality of it mm-hmm. and which steps it's going to take to get there. And that's, I think, a point that we don't always understand, is it's not a leap from here to there and it's automatic and it's going to take 2 weeks.
Right.
It may be multiple steps. It may be, you know, you have to walk before you can run, baby steps, whatever cliche you want to put there. But it's not an automatic process from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
This reinvention thing takes time. It takes work. It takes energy. Sometimes it takes sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't easy to cut our household income in half.
When you chose to go out on your own.
When I chose to take that leap of faith and go out on my own.
Right.
Which is basically what I did. When I quit my full-time job, I basically cut our income. My husband was making, you know, a little bit more than me, but we were pretty equitable in terms of income.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's a big step. That takes a lot of sacrifice. That takes a lot of willingness, not just on my part, but on the part of my family, setting their expectations as well. That this is not going to be overnight. And, you know, yeah, I'm going to have my own business, but I'm not going to be making $300,000 this year. Now, a couple of years ago when this was starting out, and the kids seemed to think, oh, mom's going to have her own business. I can have my own car when I turn 16.
Well, who said you were going to have your own car when you turn 16 either way?
Right. Well, you know, this is a whole other topic. That's a whole other show, Valerie, the teenage entitlement.
Teenage entitlement and expectations.
But the process of reinvention is not an overnight process.
Mm-hmm.
It does take time. It does take planning. It is a step-by-step approach. And I think that's where people get thwarted. You know, you said to me earlier, people think it's just going to be easy. It's just going to happen.
Right.
It takes work sometimes, depending on what it is you're looking to change.
Well, and the other thing about it is that I think when we're in the process of reinvention, a lot of times we're going to need to do this without support. We might not have emotional support. Sometimes the things that we choose go against the grain, going back to the old messages. Well, why do you want to be that? You know, aren't you going to get caught up in, you know, how could you do that? How could you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to take that risk? You said this to me the very first time we met. You said that women come up to you all the time and they say, I could never do what you do.
Why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly why I wrote the
book. And what's your response? What did you say?
Why do you think you couldn't do what I did?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Because you can do whatever you set your mind to.
Right.
Whatever you focus on, you can accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a way. All the yes buts and the what ifs, you know, we do that to ourselves.
Right.
There's always an answer to a yes but.
But that goes back to, where do we learn those yes buts? You know, we can't help the way that people teach us to be yes butting, except that When we decide, all right, well, you know, in spite of the yes buts, in spite of the what ifs, I still have this sense of determination in my head because I keep hearing these other voices saying to me, you need to go off in this direction now. You need to really see where this can go. And that's when things start to change. Think about the people. Who is it? Jewel, I think, the singer. She lived in her car. Michael J. Fox had sold his couch. You know, Hilary Swank comes from a trailer park.
Well, didn't you just tell me you were reading the new Harry Potter book? What about J.K. Rowling?
Yeah. Oh, right.
She was a homeless mother.
Right. She used to write on napkins in coffee shops. She took her baby and went to the coffee shop every day and wrote on napkins because she could not afford to buy paper or notebooks. So that's,
you know,
right.
Where there's a will, there's a way. You're right.
Always.
The determination is right there.
And it has to be about what you think for yourself and never about what someone's going to tell you, because people will always tell you,
you can't
reasons
do that.
Why you can't write.
You have to get out of your head, though, and stop telling yourself you can't.
That's right. You're right. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about the core approach, C-O-R-E, the core approach to creating the life you want with Deborah Moses. I'm Valerie Shinbaum at AM 860 WWDB, Body, Mind, and Balance.
You living the life you want to be living? Are you following the path you were born to follow? Are you achieving your fullest potential? If your life seems off, somehow not quite what you thought it would be, or not what you want it to be, perhaps you are not living the life you are meant to be living. How do you change that? It's easier than you think. Pick up a copy of Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want by Deborah Moses. This new book will teach you to create the life you want in four simple steps: choice, opportunity, responsibility, expectation, C-O-R-E, four steps to a more fulfilling life. Available at www.transformingyouseminars.com. That's transforming you, the letter U, not Y-O-U, seminars.com. Also available from Amazon.
Now that we're older, I see a lot of kids who won't associate with each other just because of their religion or their nationality.
When do we learn to care about those things?
I mean, what's up with that?
Prejudice happens when you make assumptions without knowing the whole story.
tolerance is accepting someone before they walk through the door.
No matter what their background,
their looks, their ethnicity,
their religion,
their lifestyle.
It's accepting people for who they are, as individuals.
Tolerance is recognizing and respecting the beliefs or practices of others.
Their culture, their family, their traditions.
Tolerance is celebrating the diversity that makes us great.
Tolerance.org encourages people from all walks of life to fight hate and promote tolerance. People everywhere can find news, tests for hidden bias, and action guides for communities, workplaces, schools, and homes.
Before you make a judgment, get the whole picture.
Tolerance. Honor the differences.
Picture a world of respect. Visit tolerance.org to learn more.
Tolerance.org is a project of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Okay, we're back here at AM 860 WWDB. This is Body, Mind, and Balance. I'm your host, Valerie Shinbaum, and today here in the studio with me is Deborah Moses. She's the founder and president of Veris Associates Incorporated and of Transforming You Seminars, and she's also the author of the book Change Your Life, the CORE, C-O-R-E, approach to creating the life you want. So, CORE approach, C-O-R-E, and I know this is an acronym, and you have catchphrases and words and ideologies and methodologies for each one. So,
absolutely. The CORE approach is, it's based on that comment that you were making earlier to me, that where I was telling you about women who would say to me, I could never do what you did. And I was thinking, why did they think they couldn't do this? It wasn't, you know, I didn't have any superhuman powers or anything like that. It was just a determination. And so I really decided that this is just isn't something people are taught. For whatever reason, based on things that have happened in my life, I happen to have the strength, the courage, whatever it was, to do this. But maybe I can help other people learn how to do that. So putting the book together was for that purpose, was for helping other people learn a methodology for change that would work for them. The CORE approach stands for choice, opportunity, responsibility, and expectation. We've talked a lot about choice today. Even the attitude going into a change is your choice. It's about making conscious choices, not just letting life happen to you. The O, we also talked about opportunity, being aware of opportunities that are in front of us, looking for opportunities to create something that we want to happen. I'll find a way or I'll make one. People that think they're stuck in a job, they don't realize they could make a job for themselves and then go present that case to their manager.
Mm-hmm.
And that frequently happens. That's how new jobs end up getting made in companies a lot of the time. The R is responsibility. Now, this is a little bit different than what some people might think it is. It's about giving. It's about using the things that you have, your whatever you want to call them, gifts, talents, blessings. People call them different things. It's the things that are innately characteristic of you that are meant to be given away. Whether you're a helper, you know, whether you're very loving, whether you're someone who is a caretaker, whether you're someone who has talent in an area that you can help someone else. Maybe you're a graphic artist and someone needs a pamphlet or a brochure created, mm-hmm. those types of things. But responsibility is also about getting unstuck. It's what I use to help people who tell me they're stuck, who tell me that they're, I'm in my comfort zone, I'm not really sure, I know these messages are coming to me,
right.
I'm not really sure how to leap from here, I'm not sure how to get out of where I am.
Or I'm not really ready. I'm not really ready.
I think a lot of times they're ready, they're just too fearful.
Right, right. And you and I are going to do a whole show on another show. We're going to do a whole show about change and fear.
Fear's a big deal.
Responsibility. So it's really about being responsible to yourself and for yourself.
Exactly. And sometimes when you're stuck, you're in that, what I call the discomfort zone,
mm-hmm.
because it's a comfort zone because it's what you're familiar with, but right. it may not be good for you.
Right.
So I call it the discomfort zone. Sometimes when you do something for someone else, you run a fundraiser, you go volunteer at a hospital or a little league coaching.
You produce a brochure for the PTO for your school district.
Exactly. Okay. You know, whatever it is that's your way of giving back,
mm-hmm.
When you do that, all of a sudden, new avenues, new opportunities open up for you. It's. I do believe there's a universal law of reciprocity,
mm-hmm.
where givers gain. And, you know, you get exponentially more than you give.
Always.
When you're giving with the expectation that you know, you're just giving. Mm-hmm. You don't have an expectation of receipt. So when you're stuck, if you do feel like, I just can't, yes, but I can't do this right now.
There's that yes, but again.
Know, but what if, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Then I say, go find a way to give to someone else. It's just like when you're really feeling down and really, you know, you're having a depressed day or a down day or a fear-filled day even. Because even those of us who do have courage to see these things through and become our own person and reinvent ourselves, that doesn't mean we don't have fear.
Right.
It just means we figured out how to deal with it most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people will tell me, and I found out myself, that if you talk to somebody else who's having some difficulties that you might be able to help them work through, then all of a sudden, A, you feel better, and B, your problems don't seem quite so big.
Right. Well, and I speak to that because sometimes people will come to talk to me and they keep using this one expression. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. And what they're really saying is, I'm sad. I'm lost. I'm lonely. I'm hurt. I'm wounded. I'm scared. They're saying all these things, but they're not really able to articulate them yet. So instead they'll say, I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole this will come up in a therapy session, for example, with a client, and they'll spend the whole session with they'll say something and say something and tell a story, and at the end of every story they'll pause, they'll take a breath, and they'll say, I don't know.
Well, you deal with a lot of adolescents too.
Mm-hmm. And grown-ups.
How often do you hear from the adolescents? I don't know.
Well, how often do I hear from the grown-ups? I don't know.
That's true.
So, yeah,
you deal with more grown-ups than I do, probably.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to say.
The giving, though, piece, it's important. You know, yeah. It's important to make it part of everything we do, every change that we make in our lives. It can't always be about us all the time.
Right.
It's got to be about other people, too. And that brings us to the expectation piece. The expectation, the E is expectation, and that's about really knowing in that place deep down inside of you, that place you only ever admit to yourself, that you really can succeed in this change. It's really about knowing, yeah, I'm okay with this. I can do this.
This is what I need to do now. I think that's what comes up for me in terms of reinvention. I probably would need all 10 fingers and all 10 toes to think about all the ways in which I've reinvented myself in mm-hmm. my lifetime so far. And I'm only 45, so who's to say how many more times I'll be reinventing as I go along. But what I think about is, in terms of expectation, I have an expectation of myself. I have an expectation of other people, but I more so turn it into me and I say, I need to do this now.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I'm needing to go. And you said, we talked about need earlier too. And it's not about being needy. It's
right.
about identifying and then validating and acknowledging the need.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have to do something a certain way.
Right.
And you mentioned expectation of others. Well, others have expectations of us as well.
Right.
And we can't embark on a change without bringing along those significant people in our lives and helping them having set their expectations properly as well.
Right.
So that's part of the expectation piece also. Just like when I went home and said, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I need to quit my job and I need to start my own business.
Right.
And my husband was like, time out. Hang on. You know, let's talk about this.
Who are you and what have you done with my wife?
Yeah, exactly. Right. You know, that was a constant dialogue. And there were times when I realized he was thoroughly confused because I wasn't telling him what was going on in my mm-hmm, head. Mm-hmm. And we do that. We go off on this thing of our own.
Right.
And we have a tendency to say, okay, I've made a choice. I'm seeking opportunities. You know, I'm being responsible about this. And I know that I can succeed. But we don't tell our spouse or our children how they can expect us to be
right.
as we go through this change. And we don't tell them how they can support us.
Right.
So they're just kind of out there going, yeah, what's wrong with mom?
How come she's different?
Yeah, why are things different? And we need to really bring those people who are really our best support network.
Sure.
Along with us. Or, as you said earlier, we need to push those people out of our lives if they're going to be in our unsupportive network.
Right.
You know, you mentioned a woman to me a couple days ago when we were talking who is at a point with her mother who has had to really keep her mom at arm's length at this point because mm-hmm. her mom mm-hmm. isn't supportive of where she is in
right.
her life.
Right.
And she's really had to say, okay, you know, I'll deal with my mom on these superficial things, but when it comes to my life and my career, when my mom is saying, well, why are you doing that? And how do you think you're going to succeed at that? You know, I'll deal with it. You
right,
know, mom,
right, right.
you know, don't worry about it, mom.
Right.
And sometimes we need to push those people away.
Mm-hmm.
The relationships don't work for
right.
wherever we're going.
Which is part of reinvention. I think that goes back to what we were saying earlier about knowing, making a decision of knowing when people are,
giving you what you need because you've identified your needs. I mean, the hardest thing, I think, especially, well, for everybody, I think, is identifying our needs and then thinking we have permission, if you will, mm-hmm. that we're allowed in quotation marks, to pursue those needs.
Right.
And then if we look to people for validation, we have to be prepared for people not to validate us all the time because maybe they're not where we're at. Maybe they don't understand what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can't relate to what we're doing. All of this doesn't mean we stop reinventing. It doesn't mean we stop the process of reinvention because somebody says, oh, you can't do that. Or why do you want to do that? Or, oh, I don't understand why you want to do that. Or what makes you think that's going to be okay for you? Or, and what they're really saying is, how is this going to change you in terms of how we relate to you and how we relate to each other?
It's all the what's in it for me.
Oh, okay. That's true. It's about other people's agendas.
Yeah.
And even though we're talking about being responsible to other people and allowing people to expect things of us, it's also important for us to be able to say, this is what I expect of myself now. This is where I'm heading now. So always knowing, but you're right. I liked what you said about communicating. It's always important for us to be able to at least communicate pretty much to everybody. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm trying. This is where I'm headed,
mm-hmm.
you know? And if I love you and you love me, then you're going to want to come along for this ride, just as I would go along for the ride if you have a change that you need to make.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty simple. It's not always that simple. Sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it's, I need you to be supportive. Other times it's, I need you to leave me alone and let me figure it out,
yeah,
you know?
I like that too.
Just, you know, just let me figure it out and then I'll let you know where I am.
Right. Right. So I think in terms of reinvention, as we talk about reinvention today, and we've gone already just in this short time we've been together from where we thought we were supposed to be or who we thought we were supposed to be to who we're evolving into now, I think the best thing for us to leave our listeners today with and each other is that reinvention constantly happens. Whoever we're reinventing this week, you know, it's just like when people change their hair color or mm-hmm. people change their clothing or change their lifestyle or whatever. I think we don't necessarily choose one reinvention and then that's the only reinvention we ever make.
Absolutely. Just like talking, going back to the kids and talking about their career choices, they may have five more careers in their lives.
In this day and age, with the economy the way it is and the job market the way it is, I guarantee they'll have five more choices in their lives.
Sure.
So, and in terms of risk, you know, that's one thing we haven't really used that word very much today, although we did talk about leaping.
That's the other show. That's the fear and change.
That's the fear and change show. Yeah. We'll be back with it. We'll be back with Deborah on another show soon. But it's the idea of making it clear that reinvention is always a possibility and you always want to be working at it.
Absolutely.
So, Deborah Moses, I want to say thank you to you for being with us today. Again, the book is Change Your Life, The Core Approach to Creating the Life You Want. This is Body, Mind, and Balance on AM 860 WWDB. I'm your host, Valerie Shinbaum. Join Dr. Corey Bank next week on Saturday from 4 to 5 when he's going to be discussing fitness activities in the area. Do you want to have fitness resources at your fingertips? Are you ready to get into the best shape of your life? If so, then join him and his special guests talking about fitness resources in the area. Thanks for listening. This is Body, Mind, and Balance on AM 860 WWDB.
AM 860 is WWDB Philadelphia, the Delaware Valley's only money talk radio.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Steve Taylor. Security sources in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, tell ABC News that police have already arrested 30 potential suspects in today's multiple bombings that killed nearly 90 people, many of them foreign tourists. ABC's Jonathan Carl is in the Red Sea Resort.